this life, gotta make your own deals, chase your own thrills, pay your own bills. On the outer loop, sitting on chrome wheels, phone synced up to the newest chrome bills. On air, who cares if it's right or wrong? I just care which guests they invited on. Without a minute to stall, and there was liquor involved with some hype songs. And the night is young, right on cue, the talking begins. And we check out what Steve Bill's got on the blends. A bit grimy, a backdrop from the late 80s to the mid 90s, till it finally takes us to a rhythm that works. And K-Chrome spits a verse that he didn't rehearse. Both flex skills, proving it's all in. So gather round for the newest installment, Chrome Bills.
Episode number 50.
And there's definitely a title already in the running for this episode. And that title is Steve Sucks a Quarter Inch. Because I definitely saw you just lick. Is that an 1/8 inch? Okay.
That's a 1/8 inch quarter.
1/8 inch. Well, like, input, output, whatever.
You know what? I could have just taken spit and used my fingers and went around the cord, but I'd fucking drop that thing.
Well, you know, I thought it was weird because that was like the 5th one you did. I was like, Steve, do you have to keep doing that? And you're like, I just want to.
I just need this.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if you spit on your fingers first, it kind of makes it easier when you got to go in with the full shebang later.
Whoa. Wow. 2 in the stink, 2 in the pink. Give her the old lobster claw.
Who are you?
Action Bronze.
Action Bronze.
Now, what did he say? 3 in the pink, 1 in the stink?
I think he said you put your foot in her asshole and your left wrist into her mouth.
So, fellas,
I have a daughter,
episode
man.
50.
You can't be talking like this.
Sorry.
Man. Yeah.
We've come a long way. Yeah. We have come a long way.
Actually, this is episode 50.
Yeah.
And I...
5-0.
I've kind of been moving a little bit too quickly recently to even, you know, absorb the fact that we made it through 50 episodes.
Not many people can say they do that. Not many people try because it's a waste of time.
Right.
Not many people can say they do it.
That's dope, though. Respect.
You can't give respect to yourself and some shit.
You know what? You're right. I'm respecting myself for hitting record.
I will say this. We talked about, I just show up, you know, give you my charming personality and then roll out. You guys actually do a lot of work. So to you,
yes.
I definitely say kudos to both Chuck and Steve. You do a lot of work. 50? That's a lot.
Oh, I thought you were just going to emphasize how you were the most disposable of the three
yeah.
of us.
Yeah. Like, you know, let's just say like there was budget cuts. And,
no.
You know?
He's got the biggest platform, Chuck. Because during his show, he stopped the show and was like, yeah, Steve and I do a podcast called Chrome Bills.
Yeah.
And I think Hickey and Big Slop were like, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the love we got.
I definitely, this again, it might just be the schizophrenia, but I definitely remember everyone being like, oh, really? What is it? Pulling out their iPhones, downloading Chrome Bills on iTunes, subscribing to it, leaving a comment.
Right.
All within the span of somehow like 3 seconds.
I have noticed that, you know, the subscribers have jumped.
Have they?
In the past couple days.
Have they?
No, I haven't checked.
I want to ask, because I want to live vicariously through the moment.
Okay.
Was there any mention of the fact that I'm also on it, or was it just you and Steve?
No, it was actually just you and I, so...
Wow, I fucked up on
He didn't say your name, John.
I fucked up on that one. It's like, who's the other guy again?
I actually raised my hand and tried to make a correction, but he wasn't listening to me. He was basking in the glory of the spotlight.
I apologize for that. Are you sure that happened?
No.
I'm pretty sure I said Chuck's name, though.
Okay. I was drunk.
I'm pretty sure I said it.
I wasn't drunk, but I had a few drinks in me.
Okay.
It was good.
Were you pretty hammered?
I was enjoying being out for the night.
I'll say this, you know, it's one of those things, like Chuck and I used to hang out all the time. You know, I sort of know what, like, outside of the podcast Chuck is like. I really feel like Steve and I have interacted, you know, 90% of the time in this. And then to see you in that other setting with your lovely wife, having a good time.
Yeah.
You guys were kind of the center of attention.
The party starters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I noticed that.
Right?
Well,
especially with my hair.
You can't that's true.
Really,
I thought I saw somebody. I was standing far away, and I was reading lips, and I thought the person was saying, "Does your dad also have good hair?"
It was a fun show, though, man.
It was a good time.
You did a good job.
Thanks to Sage Francis for having us out. Thanks to Strange Famous Records. U-Haul. I mean, that could be a whole episode by itself. U Street Music Hall is owned by Jesse Titsworth and Dave Nada, who grew up in this area.
Yeah.
And they blew up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they blew up. And then use that money to purchase a venue in D.C. from the sound to like the aesthetic and the layout of it, everything is done from the perspective of an artist.
Right.
Which is really dope.
The
sound was really good there. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Great image.
And I always said, in my limited exposure of doing shows throughout the D.C. area, Jesse Titsworth was by far and away the best person who ever booked me for a show. Mm. We used to do shows that there was no charge at the door, yet we were still getting hundreds of dollars to pay or to play.
Wow.
And free booze for like all our friends. And he was still making money out of it somehow. So I can't knock the hustle.
You know, that's the other thing, too, is that I feel like, you know, it's almost like Henley, too, where mm-hmm. Jesse had that mind where the way he was able to make money is like, I'm not going to charge a cover at the door. Like, you're going to get people that come for the party to drink, and then you're going to get, like, the low-life scumbag broke fuck. Cause, like,
right.
He might buy two drinks, but that's still $20. You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So shouts to them, man. The whole thing was really a lot of fun. It was a good time. It's good to see you guys out.
I do want to sidetrack the conversation for a minute.
Go for it.
I just read this article in the New Yorker.
It's your man, Sidetracks.
And they were talking about casinos in Las Vegas now make more money from their nightclubs and the sale of alcohol in their nightclubs than they do from all the slot machines combined in these fucking casinos. And they attribute it to the popularity of EDM music.
Well, I was also going to say, doesn't that coincide with when Chuck was down there?
True.
Is it the New Yorker or New York Mag?
It was the New Yorker. What did I say?
No, because I thought I read something similar, but I get New York Magazine.
Okay. Well, I think it was...
Maybe I saw both.
I think it was also run in GQ Magazine, because I was talking to Bart Lamond about this, and...
Friend of the show.
And he sent me the same article, or similar article, you know what I mean? Yo, people are fucking crazy. Like, paying $10,000 for a booth,
yeah,
and then you drop like a G on a bottle of Belvedere or some shit that costs $45 at the liquor store.
Yeah, well, two things. It's like we talked about with the T-shirt.
Yeah,
you're not buying the alcohol. You're buying the status that comes along with it.
Yeah,
but the other thing, and I feel like this is probably again like rich man.
Yeah,
like at the show I was talking about with Titsworth, you had rich fucks that would come in and just drink. Then you had broke motherfuckers who come in. I guarantee you a sizable percentage is because the economy's bad and people are just at casinos anyway, like trying to win their money back.
Right, they do good regardless.
They'd probably do better when shit's worse.
When shit's worse, people are like, I'm just going to get the quick fix.
Who's buying a lottery ticket that's already got like $8 million?
Right.
So.
So, yeah, the shows were good, man. You know what I mean?
It was good. I had a good time. I played in Atlanta, North Carolina. For anybody who hasn't heard Sage's new album, it's called Copper Gone. The other thing about it, and Chuck, you know, I know you probably had some experiences with this too. I really enjoy Sage's music, even if I didn't. I enjoyed seeing him perform. He's a very good entertainer.
Okay.
You know? I know you saw him.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, I've seen him a couple times live, and you're right. He was always very dope. I remember one show in particular at the Auto Bar right after... the Nonprofits album had come out, and he pretty much did like a 45-minute set of all the stuff that was up to the Nonprofits album that was very like low-key and chill, and then like a total performer. He went in 5 minutes later, came out on stage, and basically like reinvented himself and did a completely different act with him and Joe Beats. I also remember seeing him one time with Edan that was really dope, also at the Auto Bar. So I think I've seen him twice up there, and then I'm sure I saw him at Scribble Jam or something like that. Actually, haven't checked the new album. I've been meaning to get onto it, but yeah, I could see him being very dope. Did I hear that the show was like 2 hours long? Like actually, his performance.
His set was probably about an hour and a half.
Wow, that's a long time for a rap performance.
I feel like he was doing that a long time ago too. This time around, like I'm very familiar with everything he's done. He's got a lot of, hits like at that level.
It's a lot of material.
Yeah, yeah. There was he has a song called Makeshift Patriot. It's probably like the most well-known song he's done.
I wouldn't say that.
I had forgotten about it, but when he played it live, I was like, oh, yeah, holy shit.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Does he do any of the Nonprofit stuff?
You know, he closes out with Damage.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay,
nice.
It's really dope. And then so he does that. So we were talking off air
about
people who get a little heavy-handed with like the emo shit or the political stuff. And I think that's the thing that's dope about Sage is his set is like that. You know, it's got some real, like, gut-wrenching stuff. But then it'll end with a fun song, like, Damage.
Right.
Like, and he's been building up to, like, having fun. Everybody just goes crazy. Then he comes back and does an encore, you know.
It's
really a good time. And Chuck, you make an interesting point, too. I feel like when you like Madonna, my thing, my problem with her has always been
Madonna.
Yeah, you're a fucking well. Peep me on this. I'm like, you're a biter. You just bite whatever's popular.
Sure.
You were
sure,
a cowgirl.
Sure.
Used to be like a slut. Like uh-huh. You're a fucking like priest
you,
next
you
year.
You had torpedo tits.
Yeah. And like, whereas with somebody like Sage, you're like, when you see, I remember Common was always good at doing this. Like, they'd reinvent themselves like five times throughout one set, mm-hmm. and it was all like part of who they actually were. Uh-huh. You know, I always liked that shit.
So. All right, it's actually before we get into, I think we've got an interview coming up, but before we get into it,
with Madonna,
I had a new bit plan called Cole's Comparisons.
Yes, let's hear this.
And actually, that one was so great, so I wanted to go with the
no, wait,
off the break,
John Calipari was
artists that Cole has compared Open Mike Eagle to. Because I hadn't caught episode 48 yet, so I listened to 48 and then 49.
Yeah. Okay.
And he is all over the place. In 48, he compares him to Kendrick Lamar,
okay.
which you and I both are like disagree with. And then in 49, he compares him to Atmosphere,
really?
Which I feel like
is also
like I would never compare Kendrick Lamar to Atmosphere.
See,
so it's kind of weird.
Where, this
he bridged the gap there. Hold on. And then
is there another one?
With Sage, you just went from Madonna to Common.
He's like Madonna. He reinvents himself.
Wow. I feel so misunderstood right now. First of all,
I got what your point.
I compared.
I know it's out of context.
Yeah, that's out of context.
Funny. All right,
that's good.
You know what? I noticed this about being on the road. I'm sure you guys got a lot going on too. When you don't get enough sleep,
yeah.
I'm ready to just fight back at everything.
Yeah.
It's like this light shouldn't be red, and I'm going to tell it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I need to get some rest. Being on the road is. I don't know how some people do it for like 60 dates. They probably have better accommodations.
They probably have drivers.
Yeah. It takes a lot out of you. Plus being in the heat. But yeah, it's fucking exhausting, man.
Yeah.
It's fun. But
so you drove to Atlanta and then back up, essentially.
Basically.
Okay.
I split the drive to Atlanta in half. But yeah. And it was fun. You know, dude, Atlanta's got some really good barbecue.
Okay.
I never really thought of it as the kind of place known for that. Hit up a couple spots.
I'm not into barbecue that much, man.
What?
This is, what?
This is a stomach ache ready, waiting to happen.
What are you, a fucking 6-year-old?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I can't.
Are you serious? So tomorrow.
My belly hurts. My belly hurts.
Chuck, you get down with barbecue, right?
Fuck yeah.
Come on. I don't like barbecue.
I don't know, man.
I have a homie who doesn't like breakfast.
I think
food.
It's overrated.
I think
barbecue's overrated, though.
Okay. All right. I'll give you that. I can understand.
I like plenty of shit that's overrated, though.
Dude.
I mean, seriously.
Like soccer.
That's
dude.
That's oh, look at this. I do. Right as I said it, I was like, Cole's sitting there. Cole's comparison is fresh on his mind. He's
like,
ready to pounce.
He was like,
he's ready to pounce.
Right there. He was like.
And I threw up an underhanded layup, and he just smashed that shit.
Yeah.
Word.
But no, I mean, okay. All right. Well, what's Chuck?
C's Mikes. C's Mikes was going to be one of them.
There you go.
Are we on?
Chuck, I got to give me something. So you're not into barbecue.
If I have a choice, I'm going. I got several choices above that.
Chuck, give us and the Chrome Billionaires out there something. It doesn't have to be food. Food, because I was going to say drink wise, but there it doesn't exist. Give us a food that you're not into.
I like that there's something. You know, I don't, you said drink-wise, actually. I don't really like soda like that.
Okay. Wow.
That actually surprises
okay.
me. For like a mixed drink
that
kind of guy.
That surprises you. The BBQ.
Well, I was going to say, I only like soda with alcohol in it.
Okay.
But it sounds so much weirder when you say it that
yeah.
way. But you'll never catch me just drinking a fucking, like a can of Coke.
Yeah, you actually don't.
Just strolling down. Like if you see me with a can of Coke.
Something's wrong.
Even if we're like walking through the hall at work, you know there's liquor in
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I mean, I don't like human interaction or manual labor, so those are my things. Everybody's got their things.
All right.
So we're talking now. Along the way,
I want to talk about the two rap shows I've been to this past week.
I want to hear about it so bad.
The first being Dipset.
Diffset.
Y'all must be kidding me.
Did that thought ever cross your mind?
Y'all must be kidding me.
Diffset?
Y'all must be kidding me.
So, I don't know if you guys ever been to Echo Stage.
Yes.
And I feel like Echo Stage is set up to make money off EDM music. Like, it's a huge place. They have, like, a whole level full of VIP bar spaces and
so
couches.
Basically, the whole area is VIP, so it does, VIP
the whole
doesn't
top
exist.
The whole top level, I think, was VIP, except for, like, a bar that you could walk through, you know?
Okay. Was that the same club? It used to be named a couple different
yeah,
things,
I think
right?
it was
we talked about this.
Live or Live or some shit like that.
Okay. I saw...
That could be totally wrong. I don't give a fuck.
No, I don't think it was that. I think it was... Was it called Fur?
Fur, there you go. Fur, yeah. That's what it was.
So I saw this big EDM dude. I think his name's Martin Van Buren. And I went with some friends probably like a decade ago now. And you're so right. I mean, yeah. You had one dude DJing and you had like 10,000 people there for it or 5,000 right. or whatever that place right. holds. Like all scattered out and all overpaying for booze.
Yeah, I think they had 3,000 is what they sold for this. Because my homeboy from high school is a bouncer there. So, and I think he said they had like between three and 4,000 people there.
So
I don't think it was a good, I mean, but by their standards, I don't think they were thrilled with the turnout, you know?
What were they expecting? Like, you're talking double that?
Well, I think they can hold like 8 or some shit like that.
Imagine that.
It would be too fucking crowded.
It'd be like if we got a room for 100 people and 3 people showed up to watch
right,
us.
Right, right.
Maybe a little bit more.
And this was a Dipset reunion, which made it quite special.
Okay.
So everybody from Dipset was there. Okay. I want you guys to guess. What's the over-under on what time Dipset actually went on?
You didn't tell me this. You did not tell me this. Chuck, you go first.
Hold on. I also want to know how many members of Dipset Cole and I could combine to
okay.
name.
And that's
I'm going to lead off with Cameron.
Okay, you got one?
Jim Jones.
Okay, that's two.
I was going to go Jim Jones for two, so I'll say Juel Santana.
Good.
Is that three?
Yeah, you're there. You're okay. there at three.
And that might be all I got.
Okay.
Is
I'm going to start naming people.
Okay.
Frank Rose.
Okay.
No idea who that is.
I just made that up.
Okay. I was going to say, that's actually a good name.
Anyways. Yeah, I think there's like fucking 10 members, and not all 10 were there. Even though it was a reunion show, they all weren't there.
I asked you off air, I was like, what's the over-under on openers? And I put it at 6, and you said...
So we showed up at 10 o'clock, so I think there were openers at 8 o'clock, and we saw 5 openers.
Oh,
so there must have been. Oh. So there must have been 8 openers at this fucking thing.
You're crazy. There had to be more than that. So it was 5, and you got there at 10.
We got there at 10.
All right. So Dipset went on at, let's say, 1 o'clock, conservatively.
Chuck,
I think you told me, and it was like 12:30, right? I think we talked about.
It was 1:30.
1:30. Okay.
Oh my god!
Okay. Yo, and right. they pulled like the biggest bullshit at 12:30. People were getting kind of antsy.
Yeah,
like a guy was up there from Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah,
they booed his ass off stage and we're going Dipset, Dipset like that.
Wow!
And then they got everybody calmed down because they were like, "There's a meet and greet out back with Dipset. Come on out back
before they actually go on.
Before
show?
They actually went on." They were like, there's a meet and greet out back.
So they had to funnel 3,000 people out. And then
not everybody went out there, but
okay.
But I didn't.
What happened when you went out there?
I was already out there chilling, and I walked back inside when everybody else walked out.
Because you had no interest in meeting.
How am I going to get past like several hundred people just to be like, hey, what's up?
Right.
You know?
Right. What do you think their attitude towards the people saying hello to them was? Because it's such confrontational music, like that. Hey, what's up, man? Like,
I don't know.
Like, I feel like that's almost phony. I don't expect them there to be a fight.
You think so?
Yeah.
I feel like they're kind of the way that they present themselves is like we're like almost, you know, like a false idol type character. You know what I mean? Like we're here to be worshipped by you, the listener.
Did you get confirmation as to exactly who was out there?
No.
Do you think any of them were there?
They might have
Frank Rose, the lone representative.
Frank Rose might have just put on a chain and walked out there and said, what's up?
Yo, some dude.
Yo, which for some reason just made me think of, did you see the clip where the girl was like, what a pleasure it was meeting Arian Foster last night?
Uh-uh.
Did you see this thing on Twitter?
Uh-uh.
So, and she like tagged, she added him, and she was like, what a pleasure it was meeting Arian Foster. And there's like, a picture of her and this dude at the bar. She adds him, yep, and exactly what happened. He goes, and she's like, what a gentleman. And he writes back, he's like, appreciate the love, but that wasn't me.
You know who it was? It was Cameron.
It was Cam.
Yeah. Why are you mad?
Who are you?
That's how I was picturing Frank Rose going out there and being like, yeah, yeah, I'm on the reunion album.
Okay. Yo, they had the Why You Mad t-shirts, right?
Okay.
This is the t-shirt I was so pissed about. It was like...
Why you mad?
It was like straight up, you know, Hanes t-shirt.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh.
With like a square, like you could have taken a JPEG, like a low-res JPEG off the internet and pressed up a shirt with that you mad shit on it, like a screen grab, and then they were selling that shit for $40.
40?
Yeah, 40.
Hey, you're buying the status.
I didn't buy that shit.
But this is the thing. What does that t-shirt say about you? If you bought it, you're probably a dumbass.
Yo, I agree.
Cole, do you know what the you mad thing is?
I remember seeing Cameron saying that to Bill O'Reilly once. Like, why are you mad?
Yeah.
Okay, man, that was one of the greatest moments on television.
Yeah.
I think that actually might have been kind of like the birth of my appreciation to Cameron.
Okay.
Was him ethering Bill O'Reilly.
That you could definitely use the term ether and you'd be using it correctly.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yo, it was him and Dame Dash like giving it to Bill O'Reilly. Yeah. Classic moment.
Factor focus.
So, yeah, I don't know. I had mixed emotions about the whole night. One of the high points I would say was I ran into Shawnee Cameras.
Okay,
cool motherfucker, man.
Friend of the show.
Yeah, we had a drink. He actually had one of those e-cigarettes, and it tasted like fucking cinnamon toast crunch. It was one of the craziest things I ever tried. See, that was cool hanging out with him, and I guess he was photographing an artist named Authentic. I don't know if you guys have heard of this guy.
Yeah, he went to Einstein.
Yeah,
okay.
I know that.
He was a real cool dude, too. Another high
point. Was he one of the openers?
Yeah, he was one of the openers, and actually, he was there before we even showed up. So,
damn.
One of the other high points was, no pun intended, was that we were waiting to get a drink at the bar. And this dude was straight up rolling a joint at the bar, right? And so, you know, I thought it was kind of funny. Like, you know, you give him the little head nod, like, that's cool, man, whatever. And then when he gets done, he just walks over to Scotty Two Guns and hands him a bag, like, here, take this, right?
What?
Yeah. and then he walks and he leaves. Then he walks back and is like, oh, do you need some papers?
What?
And I was like, wow, that's really cool, man. Like, can I get you a drink? And he's like, no, I'm good. So we're a little bit faded at this point. So Scott's fiance starts rolling up at the bar, like just like she saw a dude doing, right? All of a sudden the bartender sees her, goes over, runs, gets security, right? And we see security coming back. So we toss the shit in the trash can, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. And security's like, where is it? Where is it? Like, we don't know what you're talking about. And the bartender's like, I saw you guys doing that. He's like, I don't fuck around. Like, don't do that shit, you know?
Did he serve you drinks after that?
So we're like, sorry, man, sorry. He's like, get out, leave my bar area,
okay,
or whatever.
Fair.
So we left, and then I went back up, and I apologized, and I blamed it on Scott's fiance. I was like, she was really drunk. Sorry, man.
And what was his reaction?
He was like, I'm a cool guy, but you guys are pushing it, you know?
Did you say anything about the dude who gave you the bag?
No, I wasn't like, but you didn't see him do it, you know?
You didn't have any reservations about smoking drugs that a complete stranger gave you. That I wouldn't do it.
I wasn't going to smoke it.
Okay.
I was just hanging out.
You would have hit it.
You think so?
If they were smoking it, yeah.
I don't really smoke like that, though.
Yeah, Steve doesn't really smoke like that. I mean, I've seen him smoke, but it's like one in 20.
One in 20. Anyways. So the thing is, I went up, I apologized to the bartender, and while he was getting my next beer, I tried to get the joint out of the trash can.
Oh, wow. Holy shit. Digital high fives, Chuck. Digital high fives. That's awesome.
Yeah, but it was first of all, I didn't really see it, you know, like.
Well played.
But.
All right, well, let me ask you this. How long in between when you got booted from the
30
area?
Seconds, 30 seconds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, like, there wasn't like a.
But it was one of those deep trash cans, so I would have had to, like, sift through stuff. I was like, I'm not going to dig my. I'm not going to put my arm down in there like that.
Deep trash cans will get you every time.
Deep trash cans.
When you're trying to scrounge up joints that a complete stranger gave you.
You know what? Like, what if he. Like, he.
Why
that
is this
been
trash
PCP,
can
right?
so deep?
That could have been PCP or something.
Well, that's, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, you know, if somebody offered you something to drink that you didn't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't probably take that.
You know?
Unless you see the bartender mixing the drink.
Right.
All right.
So,
fair enough.
Hey, but to each their own. So yeah. Scott had a good time. His lovely fiance had a good time.
Yeah, we had a good time despite the fact that, you know, if you're going to see these guys perform, you need to be kind of a bigger fan than I am, you know? Like, you can't be a casual fan. Because there's, number one, man, there's 50 fucking people on stage, right? There's five guys screaming into their mics. Like, there's no way they did a sound check, right? They're just screaming all their lyrics as loud as they can, You know,
yo, turn my shit up, yo, turn my shit up.
And the music is turned up as loud as it possibly can be. So you don't know what the fuck they're saying, right? Until they hit the punchline. So you better know what that is, and then you're going to have a good time, you know?
See, I feel like if I were a fan and I went and saw that poor, you know, quality control, I'd be more disappointed.
You're not paying attention. You're happy that you're happy that you're drunk and seeing your one of your favorite rappers up on stage.
I mean, you know me. I'm going to find something wrong with it. And if it's that obvious.
All right.
I don't know. So, Chuck, do you feel like that's I don't think that's acceptable. Even if you did like it.
I have a different approach than you. I'm so broken down that I've now accepted that most rap shows are not good.
They're not good.
So I would have like it's very rarely do I see rap shows recently, and it's either by someone, it's either a group that has amazing chemistry and it's like two or three guys, you know, no hype men or anything, and those are the only guys with mics and it's real coordinated, whether it be like a De La or a Farside, or it's like someone that can just absolutely take over a fucking room.
Right.
And it's just the one of them. But the days of, as soon as I'm like counting people coming out from behind the stage and lining it up with how many instruments are there. Mm-hmm. And as soon as there's like four more people than instruments, I'm like, oh, this is going to fucking suck.
Yo, that's actually very, when that's a good formula right there.
Your person to instrument ratio.
Yo,
I think it's a 1-to-1 ratio personally. You know?
It's a good point.
Yeah.
Shit.
That's the golden ratio right there.
When I do my shows, I walk up there with a fucking iPhone and Beats and Dropbox.
Yeah.
That's all, you know? But, I mean, that's all I kind of want, but I feel like that's from having practiced it a lot. What would bother me the most about seeing something like that, like you're like, they didn't even do a sound check. It doesn't sound like they practiced. Like,
right.
Oh, cool. It sounds like I paid for this.
Right.
So it'd be nice to see some fucking effort on your part.
I would rather you perform with a DJ or somebody with some instruments, though.
Yeah.
I understand it's not
feasible. 1,000%.
I understand that it's not feasible sometimes because of the fucking limited funds, but I'm just telling you that's what I would rather see.
Okay. Because I have no charisma or stage presence.
Don't go there.
I know.
And this was, here's another thing. Here's my thing about it.
Okay.
Here's my thing about it. Another thing, and this is a common thread between your show, not you personally, but the Sage show and the Dipset show, is people are not really dancing anymore at shows. Like, it seems like it's a lot of observation, you know?
Sounds like a new episode title, People Aren't Dancing Anymore.
People aren't dancing anymore. And I don't think you need to be full ballroom status, right?
Right.
But you can bend your knees a little bit, you know?
Maybe a hand in the air, you know, moving to the beat. I think I
Cole
totally
had
agree
to tell
with you
them, like, all right, now you go to the left. Now you go to the right.
I put a peace sign in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's something, though.
Yeah.
Sage's set, and I wonder if I could see Dipset having done this, too. You know how, like, when DJ Shadow did the video DJ?
Yeah.
And that was, like, a new thing?
Mm-hmm.
Sage has been doing that, and that really adds a lot to his stage show.
It does.
And, like, all the images match up. It's not just, like, press play on like a Barney CD.
Right.
Synced up on purpose.
Right.
I feel you, man. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I feel you.
That's the video shit is huge. I remember when we saw the Farside, right? They had videos all playing behind it and it was all synced up. And if it was passing me by or something, then they were playing the actual video.
Right.
But for other stuff, like for one of the joints, it was like Jigaboo time, which is that really weird sketch. And it was like people doing the circle dance around a campfire and shit. Yeah. It was crazy.
Yo, but that Farside show was hype. I feel like people were getting down, right?
Yes, I agree with that.
Dancing? Like Charles Manson.
All right, but if you say, okay, so you go to a Sage Francis Sees Mike's prolific B. Dolan show.
Okay.
Like, I feel like it's almost like you are in some sort of class a little bit, you know?
Okay.
People are standing there. I mean, I was looking around. The folks are there, like, standing there, like, writing down. They're jotting down lyrics and stuff. Like, oh, that was interesting. Like, you know what I mean? They're, like, definitely going there for a semi-education.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They're not necessarily there to cut 100% loose.
Well, I made the point. So, Kaz One opened in Atlanta and North Carolina.
Yeah.
And it's funny, like, during one show I opened, the next show went first. And with the show I opened up for, I was just like, yeah, like, Kaz is, like, the handsome, fun guy. I'm, like, the ugly stoner, you know? And it was the kind of thing where I feel like, Well, so I don't want to put you too much on blast.
Put me on blast.
You didn't see Sage's set.
I had to go, man.
Well, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have stuck around. But
I probably would have seen a little more energy and excitement from the crowd.
I feel like you went to a movie and all you did was watch the previews and the credits.
I came there to see you. I know. I'm going to tell you that much.
Yeah. Here's my point being, like, there was things that happened energy-wise. I almost wish...
He took it up a notch, I'm sure.
Well, he had people dancing now that I think about it. Your point's well taken, but I also feel like like a lot of people's steez, you got to stick with that. Yeah. I feel like with the, we were talking about somebody earlier.
Mm-hmm.
When your shit's all over the place, that's whack to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But.
Well, so flip side of the coin, right? Because I'm a little bit, I way easier expect and accept that there's not going to be a lot of dancing at a Sage or like an Aesop Rock show.
Right.
But you kind of compared both shows and said that was the common thread. And for like a Cameron and Jewel Santana, you know, Dipset show, where these guys have had songs that people play in clubs and people dance to, which you wouldn't really say about Sage, but like definitely Jewel's and definitely Cameron have had songs, and Jim Jones too. It's interesting that at the show no one's dancing.
Well, they should have gone to see Dipset.
They probably should have gone to see Dipset. Now, I feel like the crowd was moving, you know? It was more like a bop. I don't know.
Yeah.
It felt like people were there to kind of like throw their hands up and like show off what they were drinking. It felt like posturing to me a little bit,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're in here, like this type of shit.
Like, I know,
like,
so
more banging, like, it was more like we're just banging on the chest type shit.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I mean, to each their own.
Fuck it.
I feel like there's people that would draw that kind of audience. Like, I feel like Mobb Deep, I never saw them live. But when you listen to their records, like, you can tell they have a good ear for music.
Yeah.
I feel like they probably would have been more in tune with, you know, the sound being correct and everything like that.
Sure.
To hear that people showed up and, like, press play on the CD, that's disappointing.
Yeah, I don't believe there was a sound check.
Yeah.
Right?
So, but hey, you
fuck
know.
It. Fuck it. It was good. It was good just to get out of your comfort zone a little bit.
Yeah.
I hit up Checkers on New York Avenue at 3 in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. I thought going to that show was dangerous.
Yeah, we went to Checkers. Yo.
You could catch a bad one real easy there.
We could have caught a bad one. And actually,
I'm talking about the food.
I could have caught a... I did catch a bad one from Checkers. Like, if you try to step to the spicy chicken sandwich at 3 in the morning, not a good idea, man. It's not a good idea.
It sounds
great. Says the guy who started the episode by saying he doesn't like barbecue. He will step to a spicy chicken sandwich at 3 o'clock in the morning.
From Checkers, from the hummus.
Checkers.
Wasn't smart.
I always remember the dangerous thing about Checkers because I live by. Actually, when Cole and I lived together, there was one right around the corner, and it was always the deal.
I thought we weren't going to talk about that.
Of how cheap you could get two things. Like, they'd be like, "Yo, a burger's like $2.25, but you could get two for $3."
Right, I'm just selling volumes. It's volume.
I'd always leave there. I'd be like, why is everything in my bag an even number? Right. I'm by myself. How am I coming back with two orders of fries?
Yeah.
Got to eat.
Yo, Burger King got me with that shit the other day. I probably went, I don't know, 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I would just like a chicken sandwich. She's like, do you want the meal? I was like, no, just the sandwich, please. And I felt like, all right, I'm doing a good thing here. I'm just getting in the sandwich. No fries, no this. And she was like, you can get another sandwich for 59 cents. And I was like, well, all right. I was like, okay. Let me get
you.
Two chicken sandwiches.
Yeah.
And my stomach hurt like a motherfucker after
you ate
that.
Them both.
Yeah.
Let me ask you.
You know what
this.
Happens if you decline the sandwich too?
Yeah.
The lady talks into the little mic that's on her shoulder
she's
and
like,
she's like, we have a situation here.
Yeah, this stupid.
We have a situation. He declined the meal and the sandwich.
Based on
the guy that looks like Pat Riley.
I was gonna say homoerotic display, but I feel like when it involves technology, what is it if a human has sex with a robot? Like, I know there's necrophilia, bestiality. What would that be? Whatever that is.
Okay.
Do you feel like if you went to a restaurant and you're like, just give me dipping sauces for me to dip my 8-inch quarter plugs into?
Deal. Deal.
Right. Yeah. That would be a lot better.
We need a YouTube channel. We need to see. I want to see an instant replay of that.
It wasn't good.
I know. Imagine us them playing it in slow motion right now. See, we do need to add the video element.
Yeah. I got a little bit into that.
It's okay. Hey.
Into that audio jack.
I mean, sometimes I wonder, like, does your hair give you better ideas than most people are able to come up with on their own? It's fucking luxurious. I can't lie. It's the kind of thing, too, where I'm glad that you were out and about in person on Tuesday, because I feel like people might have been like, yo, like, how ill is this?
Yo, this dude's
kind of
ill.
How nice is the coif?
They were like, check this dude out.
And then they peeped you.
And he does
real.
A podcast?
It probably exceeded expectations, I'll be honest.
Oh, fuck. All right, so do you want, let's actually get in. You did an interview while you were on the road.
I did a couple interviews. I did an interview with the homie Kazwan. He's from Indiana. Very talented guy. Stage show is absolutely amazing. Really cool cat. So I asked him if he'd be interested in doing an interview for this podcast. He was so kind as to actually do so. I'm really excited to hear it. Do we have it queued up or are we splicing it in? What are we doing?
Yeah, I'm going to splice it in, but okay, we're going to hook this up.
Chrome Bills, yeah, episode 50.
Yeah, I never heard of Kazwan before. Seems like a really cool guy, man. Seems like a good guy.
He is a good dude.
Yeah.
Anybody with kids, good dude, if they're still alive.
Agreed.
The other thing I was going to say, too, is your hair looks great.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
So we're cutting this out, right?
Wait, we haven't given a shout-out to Hickey and Big Slop, have we? We kind of didn't.
I mean, you referenced them.
In a roundabout kind of way. All right, so here's interview.
What's up, Reach around kind of way. This is C's Mikes right now. I'm hanging out with Kazwan at Terminal West in Atlanta. What's up, Kazzy, baby?
Trying to get some of them ducats, dog.
Ducats, getting paid. So you and I have known each other for quite some time. Yeah. I think we first met probably at Scribble Jam.
Scribble Jam, back in 1994.
Wow. Before it even started.
Before it even started.
You made me feel
Which Scribble Jam was that, 2009? No, much, much earlier.
I feel like we probably ran into each other at one of the earlier ones, mm-hmm. and then probably again throughout the years.
Yeah.
So where exactly, not that everyone who's listening doesn't know intimately everything about you, but where are you from?
I'm from Evansville, Indiana.
Okay.
And that's a very small little place. It's the third largest city in Indiana, which makes it sound a lot larger than it is.
Okay. Is Indiana populated with a bunch of tiny cities? Is that sort of how it
Yeah, it's this very small little backwoods.
I always wondered why the slogan was the tiny state city.
You know more about my state than I do. I didn't know that was part of it.
So what's the rundown of what's your deal, bro?
Basically, I do fat raps, and then I work a lot, and then I have a family.
Okay.
But rap's the hobby that I like to do professionally.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's basically what it is. I get out on the road as much as my family life allows and work life, and I don't ever want to make this a job.
Okay.
So, I mean, as much as it is a job now, and as much as the heart that I put into it, I think that this would kill me if it was just all I did.
Yeah, so, you think you would stop enjoying it?
I think I would absolutely stop enjoying it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how does that work with the family in terms of do they just sit and cry and wait for you to come home, or do they go about business?
It's business as usual, but like my son is just now.
Good. We got it. You got to come in. Hey, the AC, you got to stay cool.
As long as you give me one of them Fantas. Mm-hmm.
I'm joking. That's all right.
My son's just now, he's 2.5, and he's just now to where he like vocalizes his feelings about me leaving, and it was hard to leave right now because he's used to me being there every day for him, and
yeah,
so it was tough this time coming out on the road. He was crying pretty hard and said, "Daddy, no leave."
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you explain to him what's going on, or is it tough?
Yeah, as much as I can. Yeah. I mean, two-year-olds, I think they say that, like, until you're 5 years old, they don't understand anything in the world outside of themselves. So, like, we're his tools, like, as his parents. So if one of his tools is gone, his whole world is off balance.
Right.
So,
but see, it's interesting because I feel like most people I meet, no matter how old they are, that's still sort of how they operate.
That's how I operate.
I know that's how I am. There's my kale chips. Thank you. So was that something that you and your wife discussed before you got married and everything? She knew that about you?
My wife is, like, so supportive. She tells me to go out on the road. And, like, See, I'm weird, man. Like, if I go out on the road, like, the whole time I'm sitting there thinking, like, oh, the world's going to end while I'm out here, and I don't get to see my family before I get back. It's like this fucked up thing that goes on with my... Can I cuss on your podcast?
Sure.
All right. Otherwise,
fuck it.
Otherwise, this wouldn't be... I mean, it's going to be 2 minutes long. So, yeah, I think it's more me and more me in my head than... anything. Like, my wife doesn't hold me back. She's super supportive, like, either way. She wants me home. She wants me out on the road. She wants the money in buckets.
Okay. Okay. So how's that been going in terms of, I know you put out an album recently. Could you tell us about that?
The album is doing, like, 10 times better than I thought it ever would. Like, I was really nervous because
I was wondering why every article of clothing you're wearing is made out of solid gold.
So yeah, no, this is actually foil that I've put there. But it's done a lot better. Like, I was worried because I took, what, 6-7 years in between projects. And my last project was Liberation in 2005. And that got a little bit of a buzz, which made me worried to put out another album because I didn't want to fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I did it right. Like, Eric's the guy that does all the beats on it, and he...
The yoga instructor.
He basically a yoga instructor. He's like one of those dudes that can do everything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like...
The title of the new album is Monster in the Wishing
Monster
Well.
The Monster in the Wishing Well. And we worked on it for 7 years. We had an album before and pretty much trashed it and just kept like 2 songs for it. And I think we did it right. And it's paid off in the long run. I mean, things are going uphill or downhill, whatever is easier.
Sideways hill.
Sideways
hill.
Well,
you mentioned something about you got a video on MTV.
I got an MTV, a video on MTV, which is wild. Which, since I'm from, like, a smaller city, like, it's fucking crazy to go out. And I rarely go out. But when I do, like, people come up to me and think that I'm a lot bigger than I actually am. Mm-hmm. Because they saw the MTV.
Physically or just like...
Well, both. I mean, you want me to take these off? You want me to take these gold pants off?
Is that it?
No, but they think that I'm bigger. Like, since I did like an MTV video, they're like, oh, this dude's it. Like, he's made it.
Yeah.
But... I'm still scratching pennies together, you know.
So, well, you had mentioned, too, that you wouldn't want to make this into a job. This is sort of something that you do for the pleasure of it.
Right.
Do you have a far-reaching goal, or just day-to-day you want to keep enjoying it?
I just want to, I mean, like, I want the music to get as big as it can without, like, taking over my life.
Okay.
Like, I want to enjoy it. I want it to go to as many people that enjoy it to where... I don't get death threats over it. You know
okay.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or like fucking, or just senseless shit talked about me on the internet. So now, like, my fan base is like, I've got a decent sized fan base now, and it's all really tight knit, and no one talks shit on my YouTube videos. So that's tight.
It doesn't devolve into racism.
It doesn't devolve into racism, yeah. Which is cool.
It's about the best you can hope for.
Yeah, but I mean, I just want, like, seriously, music is for my ego.
Okay.
And it's cool to be out here, like, meeting people that actually care about my music or learning about it. And, like, I don't need to be, I think that maybe if I got really big, it would fuck my ego all the way up.
Okay.
So, I don't know if that's crazy or not.
Do you think that fear is why you don't want to... have it become something larger than it already is?
That and I don't know if I'm, like, keeping it from being larger than it already is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't tour as much as I could or should, but I don't know that I have, like, a gigantic, humongous market out there. Mm-hmm. I can't say that tomorrow, if I wanted to be bigger, that I could flip a switch and be bigger. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know if I've done anything to hold my music back except for not touring as much as I should.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you smoke cigarettes too, man.
I smoke too many cigarettes, man. That's a goal of mine to quit. That's the goal at the end of rapping, quit cigarettes.
Okay.
Save my voice for the rest of my life.
Right. So what is it? You said you have a full-time job. You don't have to disclose everything, but that sort of keeps you pretty busy too. How do you find time to make such incredible music?
When my son goes to sleep, I've got an 11-year-old little girl, and I've got a 2.5-year-old little boy, and I get my little girl every other weekend, and my wife will let me if I'm like, hey, I just want to write. She'll let me go down in my basement and work it out. But I work with Figure a lot as well, which is like, Figure's a giant DJ. I don't know if you know who he is. It's wild to me, but I work with him, and if he sends me a beat, like, I have to do it within that week, or it'll never ever, like, he'll just put it out without me.
Okay.
So, if I let her know, like, hey, Figure sent me a beat, I have to do this, she's 100% down, lets me do it.
Right.
So after work, like, if I get off work at 6 o'clock every day, the routine is I play with Kittrick, my wife makes dinner. My wife puts Kittrick down for bed, and I go downstairs and work, or I procrastinate and play video games.
Okay. So one of my favorite part about your music is that you write very good hooks. They always fit right into the crevices of the beat. They work well for recorded material and for live. Is that something you worked on when you were first starting to write? Or is that just something that comes natural to you, and that's why I hate you, because I'm jealous of you?
No, well, with the hooks, I always thought that I sucked at hooks. And I did. I used to. So I don't think Liberation had great hooks. I think that the Monster has pretty good hooks. But I did see that on Liberation, and I wanted to work more because the hook's where it's at. Mm-hmm. I mean, like on the song, the beat, then the hook, and then no one gives a fuck about what anything else we say.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah, I did notice that I needed to strengthen those, and I'll probably write 25 before I get a good one.
Cool.
Thank you for noticing that. You're
I
the
love
first
them.
Person. You're the first person that's ever said that to me.
Hey, I'm fascinated by you, I gotta say. So I wanted to say thank you very much for taking the time out to talk to me.
Steve.
I know you're about to go rip shit. We're at Terminal West. You're opening up for Sage Francis tonight.
That's been a dream, too.
Yeah?
Yeah, man. Sage, I've been listening to Sage since I got into hip-hop, really. Like, really, really into hip-hop. This right here is the goal. So
cool.
Tonight's a dream come true.
You want to split some kale chips?
Yeah, let's split those kale chips.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us. Kaz1, everyone. Is it Kaz1.net?
Kaz1Music.net.
Kaz1Music.net.
Yep.
Thanks, homie.
No, thank you.
I can just read a Steve reaction. We're back, right? Chrome Bills, episode 50?
We're back.
Here we are.
I want to just point one thing. I didn't know who Figure was, so when he said it, the DJ. And I hate that I use this as a metric, but it's a good one. It's just to see how many followers people have on Twitter.
Right.
And it was 42,000, which
Holy
I think is,
fuck.
You know, that's definitely nothing to sneeze at. To put it in perspective, Kaz is in that, he's probably in the C's Mike's realm of, he's like, right, he's in one, between 1 and 2,000. Not that that shit matters. It obviously doesn't. Like I said, I hate that I use that as even a metric, but
that's what a record label
would
do.
Nothing about someone. Yeah.
I think
how can I figure something out in 5 seconds?
Yeah. I need more. Why the fuck don't I have more followers?
I don't know, man.
They call me Jesus Mikes.
Jesus Mikes.
Just Jesus Mikes.
Thank you to Kaz1 for taking time to sit
Definitely.
Down and talk to. I saw some things that he said really stood out to you.
Yeah, I mean, just the humility to kind of understand basically who you are and what your ego is aside, you know, inside of yourself, right? To identify that it needs to be fed. Or it needs to be kept in check, right? And dude was like, I do this to help my ego out, but I would never want to be so famous where my ego was going unchecked, you know?
Right.
Like, that's very profound, man. That shows a lot of self-awareness. I think it shows a lot of intelligence to say something like that.
Yeah, man.
You know? And be like, he realizes that if he were to ever get large enough in this business where he would be doing it all the time, he would fall out of love with something that he loves.
Right.
Also, man, it's very profound, you know, and I think that awareness is great. I don't know his music, but I'll definitely be checking for it. And
right.
I hope it, you know, exudes that same level of intelligence and thoughtfulness that he came out with his interview, you know?
Oh,
that
yeah.
interview is my favorite track that he's ever done.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Wow. Okay. Very meta. Very meta.
It's a very valid point, you know, because I think there is the element of being able to walk into a Checkers and not have people... yeah, that's a throwback to earlier in the show.
And upsell you Checkers and upsell you on
and
a
not have
sandwich.
And not have people know exactly who you are. I mean, there's a huge gap between like Shakira and Sage Francis,
right?
You know,
right. Yeah.
Like there's, and I think there's something awesome with being able to go into a room where everyone who's there and has paid money to see you is like really into your shit. And I think he even made the point. He's like, I'm not at a level where people even hate me online.
Yeah. Also,
like everyone that's Googled me wants to check out what I'm doing and
right.
positively embrace it.
I mean, and
that's how I know this podcast needs some haters. By the way,
we don't have any haters. It sucks.
I hate it.
Do you hate it?
I hate it. I'm just filling the vacuum, but I hate it.
The only hate I've ever gotten was Chuck uses the soundboard too much. But
okay, is that for me? Worldwide, we know for that. I'll say this about Kaz as well. Worldwide, we know for that. His stage show is electrifying. It's really fun. You know, okay. It's one of those things where in Atlanta, and he openly admitted, he was like, you know, it was the first show I'd done in a while. By North Carolina, when the wheels were already turning, you know what I mean? He was just fucking ready to rock, and he killed it.
Why didn't he come to D.C.?
Sage has Strange Famous Records,
okay.
his label.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got artists like the Meter Maids played with him in New York because they live up there. Prolific now lives in D.C. He was also
okay,
at the show.
So he's
shout out to Prolific, friend of the show.
Yeah, definitely.
And so it made sense because of where Kaz lives to offer him those two shows.
Okay.
In terms of, I mean, I was flattered that he offered me
Is
stuff
Kaz
that was,
on Strange Famous?
No.
Okay.
No.
Just another head.
Just a homie.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So it was a good time. It's fun. Hey, he's got a really cool crew. He's got a DJ named Textbook, really talented guy. There's another dude rolling with them, helping out with stuff named Sean Little. So shout out.
Who are you? So Figure is not his DJ.
I can't say no.
He just helps. He's his friend, and he produces songs
right.
for him occasionally.
They do stuff here and there.
That's pretty cool, man.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a good time.
Definitely.
Thanks to everybody who came out. I feel like the listenership of Chrome Bills is it's probably gonna. I don't know. What do you say? Expand tenfold?
I hope so. Okay. I hope so.
Easily.
And then we have to pay Kaz one.
We do.
Yeah.
For the boost. And then we got to sign. But we have to have. We have to leave
to sign
room
him
for
to
a reason.
Chrome Bills Records so we can really blow him up.
We have to leave room for Ariza and Andre Miller.
For Trevor. Right. Dude, I hope we don't sign. Are they really going to re-sign Andre Miller?
I mean, he'll be in the league. We'll be dead and he'll still be playing 12 minutes a game for somebody.
You know.
They gave Gortat some serious coin.
They
but
did,
I think
man.
You guys are looking
million,
at it the wrong way because you're forgetting
million.
about the Chrome Bills bump, you know, for
true,
Kaz
true,
1.
Yeah, true that.
True.
It's equal. We boost him. He boosts us. What else, man? It's been tomorrow. Well, so this is going to air after our 4th of July extravaganza happens. I'm going to get some crabs tomorrow.
Oh, you are?
I'm going to go eat something.
Nice.
Cole, are you going to do the move that you're completely known for? Which is sit down in a place that has all-you-can-eat crabs, but they're referring to Maryland blue crabs, and instead sit off to the side and get some Alaskan snow crab legs.
Well, has he done that before?
For 25 a pound and drop like $100 on Alaskan.
Have you done that?
King crab legs.
A homie.
It's a very specific reference.
Okay.
All right. So shots several fine. Years ago, me and a homie, the homie Ali, friend of the show.
Right.
Who are you?
We went to Ocean City with probably about a dozen people.
Uh-huh.
God, we must have been like maybe 24, 25, like our prime eating days. Went to one of those spots on whatever it is, like what is that, Route 1?
Yeah.
12 of us. We were there for so long, people like started to get there like, I'm just going to go back to the crib, get up and leave. Ali and I were there by ourselves for 2 hours after everyone had left. We ate. We must have been there for like 6.5 hours. It was insane.
Yeah.
But it was the kind of thing, it was the kind of experience, like the next, so it became a thing. Like we'd go out once every year.
And just pig out.
Well, he eventually made the point, he's like, yo, like, why are we breaking our backs with the crabs?
Right.
Why not get the crab legs? And I hated on it at first. When I did,
but
I was
it was
like,
all you can eat crab legs too?
Well, no. I mean, it was like,
no.
You're still
no, this man's dropping like Vegas table prices on crab legs.
You're paying at least like 20% more.
The markup is 1,000%.
I'll say this. I grew up eating blue crabs. Like from the time I was like 8, like I knew how to break open a crab. I don't mind that. He's not down. He's too impatient. You think I'm impatient. Like he's not trying to do that.
Yeah.
I can go either way. So tomorrow, when I go get the crabs, I'm just going to get, they're just going to have like the, I hope they're the extra large. You know what
you
I
gotta
mean?
You got to get the jumbos, dude.
Yeah.
That's so. The real payoff.
But shouts to American Ice Company. They're having a crab crack. They were kind enough to invite me, so I'm going down to check that out.
Oh, really?
Fuck yeah, man. I'm going to eat. Nice. I was there.
Do you have to pay for the shit or what?
Well, that's the thing. I was there last year and I worked it. I didn't get to eat any crabs because I was working and yeah. I was fucking salty.
Yeah.
This time around, even if I have to pay for it, I don't mind. I'd be surprised if I had to.
What
it's really going to show you
let
how
me,
much pull
let me,
I have.
Let me roll to that.
Do you really want to go?
What time is it?
They actually, they were like, you should come with somebody. And I was like, I'm alone and don't have
what yet. Time?
I was like, plus I want to leave when I want.
What time?
I said I'd be there by 2. Now, I know right. you, that's probably right smack dab in the middle of your
that's
shit.
That's when we were going to go to.
When would you want to, it's noon to 7.
Well, I might be hitting up Artemis for some records. In D.C.
We'll
this shit
this
is not going to work. This is not going to work.
If you, want, if you want, I'll go down there earlier just so you can come through and we'll hang out.
All right.
But I will say, yeah. I don't want to be anywhere near the city after the fireworks because getting
oh.
out of there,
oh, yeah, that,
it
oh,
makes
God.
The apocalypse look like you're driving around an empty parking
you
lot.
You know what? I hadn't even thought about getting
How's that for a cold comparison?
I hadn't even thought about going down to D.C. to look go. At records on the 4th of July. He lives in D.C., right?
Well, here's the thing, though. And I, when
yeah,
they offer,
not a good move.
Yo, I'm gonna. I can't do that shit.
Yo, see, this is the thing.
What's the thing?
When I so I felt the same kind of way going down there last year. I went to a barbecue first, then went in for my shift. I was there at like 3 o'clock. There's nobody in D.C. on holidays. Everyone goes out of town. The only traffic you'd encounter would be leaving after the fireworks, when like everybody who's left in the city and then like the surrounding.
Are you
suburbs.
Sure, dude?
Absolutely.
The 4th of it's, July is crazy
no.
in D.C.
It's not. Well, it's not as crowded as you're. It's not going to be prohibitively bad traffic.
Okay. All right.
It's crazy.
Maybe not over. Maybe not over by Ice Company. I mean, I've.
Yeah.
I still think one of the craziest moments ever, ever, ever in life was trying to take the Metro home.
It's
right
insane.
After the fireworks one
yeah.
year.
And
like,
we used to
totally
do that all the time.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we used to do that all the time. It was fucking terrible.
Well, what I'm saying, though, is if you're in and out of the city from noon to 2,
you're probably all
bing
right.
bong. No
yeah,
problem.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
But
bing
that's
bong.
Another thing.
Bing bong.
How do you think that me complaining about traffic will cause a spike in the ratings? Or do you think it'll cause the galore? I'll skip it. I'll skip it.
So, yo, I want to hear a Kaz 1 track.
Play Chasing Greatness.
All right, let me find this shit. Is it is it available with the click of a mouse?
If you, everybody out there, Google Kaz 1 SoundCloud.
You can Kaz O-N-E.
Yeah.
Chasing Greatness was the first hit.
There you go.
While you're queuing that up, I wanted to say that actually the first hurricane of the season is coming up the East Coast today, so it was on the news. I'm actually heading down to North Carolina for July 4th, so they were talking about how it's coming up and hitting the Outer Banks and everything like that. And for some reason, man, I heard the word hurricane 3 or 4 times. I had to pull that E40 in the click. Hurricane. And you want to talk about, you were commenting on Kaz about doing really good hooks during your interview with him. Talk about just not creative and awful choruses.
Let me, what's the
that,
chorus?
That chorus does not stand the test of time. In plain English,
can
not
I,
sung.
Can I pull it,
it
up?
It says hurricane, but you can call me slurricane.
Okay.
Line number 2. Slurricane, strong enough to start an engine. Main.
Can I listen to this for a minute?
Go for it.
All right. Ba-ba-ba-da-ba.
Listen to what?
With the beat. I still like the beat.
Oh, this shit even comes. This shit even comes with a commercial.
What are you pulling up the E40
yeah,
in the click
you
one
want to
first?
Hear the hurricane.
Oh yeah, dude. Just so you know, if it's the real video, you might have to skip. Like, it's one of those videos that starts with people talking on the street or in a bar. He's like, "Yo, I think I want this." He's like, "Nah, man, you want that hurricane?" Yeah, here you go.
Do I need to skip or no?
No, you're good now.
He's dope too.
I know he is dope.
I'm wondering if the hook, if is slurricane like alcohol that's so powerful it can
yeah.
cause an engine? Okay. Yeah,
no, hurricane is.
Is they sell that
slur.
in New Orleans, the hurricane?
Yeah.
Oh, God. That'd be a terrible like marketing ploy.
Yo, have you guys ever seen this fat Asian dude who does an E40 impersonation?
No.
Oh, fuck, man.
Kind of nails it.
Chuck.
My funny E40 story is I went to an N1 basketball tournament.
That's awesome.
And it was held
itself.
At the Verizon Center in D.C. And they brought out and they were like, "We're actually going to have some music at halftime." I was like, "Oh, it's going to be fucking awful." And they were like, "Straight from the Bay, E-40.
Wow.
I was like, yo, this is actually a pleasant surprise.
How was he live?
It was probably a lot like the Dipset show where there were like 10 people on stage. At the time, he had some song where the chorus was like, oh, actually, let's focus on this chorus right here.
Yeah, that's a pretty bad chorus.
But he had some song where the chorus was just repeating over and over again. It was like, tell me when to go. Yeah. Tell me when to go. Yeah, tell me when to go. Tell me when to go.
Tell me when to go.
That had just dropped. And he played that. And then I think he did a couple other songs I'd never heard of.
All right.
I mean, wasn't Brown Sugar.
You realize that the impact of this is sort of lost because we do an audio podcast.
All right.
We're watching right now on YouTube.
Yo, he sounds a lot like him, though.
I'm about to lace you up and show you this E-41 impression, pimp. I mean, I've been doing this E-41 impression for many moons, man. Ever since I've been like knee-high to a samurai, next door neighbors to a dragon's toenail, my wee relation, pimp. Ooh.
Wow.
Yo, this dude's killing it.
Okay.
Yeah, I would recommend everybody going to check out the Asian E-40 impression.
Who are you? Yeah. There we go. First, we have Bobcat Goldthwait.
I was knee-high to a dragonfly, man. Ooh.
I thought he said knee-high to a samurai.
Oh, knee-high to a samurai, pimp.
It's kind of dope. That's kind of dope.
What's I mean, he, you got to give him credit as one of the guys who really came out with his own style, though.
Yeah, oh, like, definitely.
Like, different styles should pay homage to the fact that people like E-40 blaze the way.
Oh, dude, I feel like E-40's created as many slang words as anyone.
I don't think anybody can touch his slang words.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's
so, that being the case, why are his hooks bad?
A slurricane.
Just invented a new
word.
He
made up slurricane. He had slurricane.
No, but that's, in fairness, he just rhymes first on that. That's technically a song by The Click, right?
Okay.
True. It's E-40 and The Click.
Okay.
Oh, is it E-40 and The Click?
Yeah.
It's like Bob Marley and The Wailers.
True. Guys, I got to take a phone call with my wallet. Little inside joke there. We're looking at a CD cover.
Yeah.
Somebody gave Steve a demo at the because he heard about Chrome Bills. He's like, "Yo, you can do big things. I've seen what you've done."
I kind of want to listen to this for the podcast. I don't know.
No, you don't. So This guy is on the back is holding up a wad of money like it's a phone.
Yeah,
like I get how meta he's trying to go with it.
That's not very meta though. It's not really. That's not really pushing the envelope. I told him I was going to listen to him and give him some feedback, but I don't have to do that through the Chrome Bills outlet.
You told him that. Chuck and I didn't tell him that.
That's true.
Exactly.
You're right. You're right.
And I have a hard time nowadays disliking stuff publicly. I'll shit on it in private.
You know, we've talked about trying to have a viral video.
Yeah.
We should go to like just terrible rap shows.
Okay.
And like and videotape us saying to the guy, like, look, like I'm gonna go listen to this, and if I think it sucks, I'm
and
gonna
then
fucking
tear it
tell
the fuck
you.
Down.
And then record the interaction.
That sounds evil.
Like, this is terrible.
That sounds evil.
Or okay, we don't want to go to that level. This is what we could do.
Okay.
We could say with a smile, like, this is probably some bullshit, right? But like trying to play it up like it's
please,
cool.
Please. Yeah.
No, I mean it's probably terrible, right? I can't wait, but I shouldn't listen to it, right?
It's so weird how passing out CDs at a show is the new version of like literally, I guess because I work in Midtown Manhattan, like literally every day someone's like handing me a flyer.
Right.
And I'm just like, don't give me that. Like,
yo, isn't that weird? Like that's
like the, CDs are that now. Like, I'm just like, oh, I don't want this. Like, what am I going to do?
It's reverse panhandling where people used to ask you for a dollar and you'd avoid them. Now they're trying to give you something and you don't even want it.
Yeah. Like, no, I'm good. I think we're all dealing with being like somewhat of hoarders,
yeah.
You know, and trying to go more digital too. And I'm just like, I don't want that CD.
I don't
want
to. You know what? And I'll probably hold on to this shit for 30 years. And I'll be one day I went to a show and Bodanga Bangs, whatever the fuck this dude's name is, gave me.
Now, do you think part of it is just the guilt of being like, I made a commitment. I said I would listen to this.
Yeah,
and I haven't.
Yeah.
See, this is why I was saying you would smoke the joint.
All right, hold up.
That's what I was. That's
okay.
What I was getting.
Okay,
at.
That's fine. That's fair. But I didn't.
The fact
for
that
the
you
record.
Didn't throw this away.
All right, no,
well, neither did they.
Let's do it. There's six tracks on this song, all right? Track number one.
Six tracks on the song. Six tracks on the album. By the way, before you read them, if you threw the track, if I threw that CD in the trash,
yeah,
would you go back by 30 seconds later and look in and see if it was there?
Yeah. And then blame it on Steve's fiance or Scott's fiance.
God damn it, guys.
Come on, man. Why are we wasting time with this
okay,
shit?
Okay, 6 songs on the album. Track number one, Cheddar.
You realize Kaz has been listening to this? He's like, do you realize how many SoundCloud followers I have? Yeah. And these assholes won't even play my song because they're talking about this shit.
Oh, true.
Go for it.
Track number two, Rosie, R-O-Z-Z-E-Y.
Frank Rosé, the inspiration.
Or Frank Rosé. Track number three, Brick. Who are you? Brick, which I can only assume is about some sort of construction project that he's got.
Probably the guy from Anchor.
He's redoing his patio.
He's redoing his patio. Brick. Track number four, Fuck You.
Okay. Directly to the point.
Yeah, he has a track. Mm-hmm. Track number five, Probably Would.
Fuck you.
Not wood, like not like wood construction, but probably wood. Like I would do that.
Okay.
Track number six, Goon Talk.
Okay.
Here's so, what goon I talk? Do. Not gun talk. Goon talk.
Oh, true. Maybe he has an accent and he just calls guns goons.
He's German.
He's like goon.
Here's what I do whenever I see a CD like this. May I see that?
Don't break it. I want to listen to
no,
it.
No, I'm not going to break it.
You can't break it.
I'm not going to break
don't
it.
Don't crack it.
Do you really think I would tell you I'm not going to do something and then I do it?
Definitely.
Of course,
you're going to throw it against the wall. Kind of
how many people do you think have a song called Fuck You already?
A lot.
How about Brick?
CeeLo. CeeLo has a song called Fuck You.
Cheddar.
Oh, CeeLo has a song.
Cheddar.
Yeah, a lot. Cheddar, yeah, definitely.
I mean, my man Frank Rosé is one of a kind.
Right.
So probably not. Probably Would, guarantee you.
No, I don't think Probably Would is.
I bet you. Okay. I know fucking Giant Gorilla Dog Thing have an album called Probably Should.
You're right. That's close enough.
Goon Talk, I think, is Ill Bill's next album.
Goon Talk.
No, I actually think Goon Talk might be the original title on there.
I kind of like
I'm
gonna
give him,
Google it. Google
if
it
I had
right
to
now,
rate.
I guarantee
if I had to,
this.
No, but if I had to rank the song titles you just listed, I think Goon Talk is. If I had to jump in strictly off title,
why you?
I'd be
come
like,
on,
yo,
man.
Goon Talk.
What?
Just Google it.
All right, I'm
no, I'm doing it right now. You're good.
All right.
Actually, there's it auto completed to Goon Talk Plies.
Girl Talk.
So that's a rapper, right?
Oh,
Plies,
really?
P-L-I-E-S.
So yeah, you're right. It does. There's already a.
Oh no, he says he's Goon affiliated.
Okay. What does that even mean?
Like in hockey, there's goons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Well, who's like a Borjadin or who's the dude for Boston that's like 6'8"? The big goon enforcer dude. What if that would be an ill like second career for that guy? Like you talk about being a goon. I got paid to be one.
I am a goon.
I have footage of this shit.
Goon Talk.
Mm-hmm. This beer is good, man.
It is good, isn't it?
Lemon
this
zinc.
Fucking. How do you pronounce? Hit the title on this.
Summer
oh, by the way, Goon Talk is actually a blog that's been around since 2006.
What are you drinking?
But I doubt that's what the song is about.
Chuck, what are you drinking tonight?
Let's see. I started
Goon Talk Ale.
I started with the martini.
Okay.
And I've moved into a vodka soda.
Okay.
Not really drinking too much today. This is only the second drink, and I'll probably stop when the show ends.
Holy
that's not true,
Christ.
But.
No Manhattan, no Martatin.
Martatin.
No, the I feel like the Marhattan. I hit Steve up the next morning. I was like, dude, I'm so incredibly hungover for a Wednesday. What did I do last night? Mm-hmm. And you know, it was well documented.
Yeah.
I started with two. I never made a small cocktail in my life either. So I started with two like pretty massive.
Yeah.
Put you in the dirt drinks. One being a Manhattan, one being a martini. Yeah, and it was rough.
It's a good time though, man.
Yeah.
It's a nice segue into the World Cup. I watched the U.S.'s unfortunate loss to Belgium. You know, and much respect to the team and everything.
Was it?
But I was really nervous, like watching the game, because I really wanted them to win. Because you know, in all actuality, it's the only sport that matters. And I was sitting there, and in a game that, granted, went to overtime and probably took 2.5 hours start to finish. I drank 8 beers, which I think 8 beers is a very normal number for me to have in a night.
That's not a normal number.
On a Tuesday.
No, in a night. Right? 8 is like a very normal number.
I'm not judging. You, Chuck, I've long accepted this about you, that you Chuck drinks the way some people smoke weed.
Yeah.
And so I'm not really judging for that. What I'm thinking along the lines
in
of...
In 2.5 hours?
Or I nothing guess happened. You watched something for 2.5 hours where nothing happened.
It was an exciting game.
That's not true.
It was an exciting game, dude.
You sound like Ann Coulter.
It was an exciting game. He does just kind of sound like Ann
Coulter.
Sees Coulter. Yeah. It was a good-ass game. Plus, they still had a chance at the end, you know?
Of course they did.
Neither here's the... All right, here's
the... 2.5 hours.
All right, just to shatter your argument... rules are always set up, and it's just a basis of how the rules are. If the NFL tomorrow said, we want less scoring, so it's going to be, just using an NFL example, it's going to be a 150-yard field, or when you play offense on defense, it's going to be 11 on 12, or something like that, the scores would dramatically go down. It would still be football, and I would still like it. Like, if they made the field 200 yards, and it was all about field position, and guys, like, rarely ever scored, and games were 7-0, it'd be the same sport to me. I don't need the celebrations. I don't need the celebrations. Well, you're making two different arguments.
Right. I'm making the objective argument that I just don't like soccer. No, I'm making the subjective argument that I don't like soccer and then couching it as objective. I fully realize that. Right. I just feel like, well, I will say this. What the American goalie did sounded pretty incredible.
It was incredible.
So talk about it so I don't have to.
Okay.
No, so your point, yeah, if nothing happened, I mean, that game very easily, in fairness to the U.S., they could have lost like 6-0.
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
You typically don't have goalies making crazy saves left and right like that.
They could have lost that. They could have got murdered.
Literally
murdered.
Chuck, who do you like and going forward in the hole?
And it's the same argument people make about, like, I've watched hockey games. You know, the Rangers are really big up here, obviously. And, like, Lundqvist is, you know, top 5, top 10 goalkeeper in now in the league or in the history of the league or whatever the fuck. But people, like, watch it for that dude. And I've seen them be a completely lopsided game. And if you're pulling for the Rangers, like, there's nothing more exciting than watching – yeah. Your literal last line of defense sit there and save you time after time.
Definitely.
Like, if you, the thing is, I think you have to care for sports in general. You could trivialize any sport. If you have a rooting interest, whether it's liking a team or disliking a team, it makes it interesting.
Fair enough.
You know, people love to root against, like, I love to root against the Patriots. I'll watch any Pats game just to be like, fuck them.
My thing with soccer is that it's not so much the soccer that I dislike. I don't particularly like it, but it's the people that won't let it go. But now I've become the opposite end of it. I won't let it
go. You're not going to let it go.
You know what I mean? I need to chill out with that.
You do.
The game seriously, was pretty, and you could pick exciting. A time to, you could pick your battles too. Like deciding you're not going to back down when
like
people won't let it go.
When everyone forgets about it.
Yeah, during the World Cup is probably just the month you let it go. Right. And in a year, if I'm like, you should really get into soccer, you'd be like, tell me in 2018.
Yeah,
that's the way I'm going to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Word.
Fuck it.
All right, let's check this track out.
We're way over time.
Yeah,
right?
It was like 80 minutes now.
All right, so this is the outro?
This
are
is
we
chasing,
coming back?
Chasing Greatness.
We're coming back. Chrome Bills, episode 50, a long episode. Let's make it a multiple of 50, 100 minutes. The 100-minute episode.
I think we're getting close.
It's at 80 now. Play the song, come back for 15 minutes.
All right.
And we'll send the folks home with a smile on their face. Thank you to everyone who's supported up to this point.
Shout-outs. Shout-outs to Yon Deezy.
Oh, this shit kind of bangs, doesn't it?
When it catches you, you better feel it. And when it shows its teeth, you better turn around and kill it. Bridges out of matchsticks that never look back. Shit, wishes in a well, and a monster gon' eat. Fill it all to fill me up, and I won't ever go to sleep. Please, a motherfucker on the chase, and stare it in the face, and cut away to age like it was born yesterday. Okay, I am a product of pent-up anxiety. Variety of omens keep the demons up inside of me. Pen go help them breathe till I learn to excel. Got them brain cells like jail cells, and that don't sit well. Beating on my chest, I shake them ghosts all loose. And use my superhero cape to form myself a noose. I kill the expectations, sell the pills and makes a different pain. And know they sitting waiting while they losing all their patience. For a motherfucker chasing monsters like he's chasing greatness. Motherfucker fall, I will never rebuild. Don't trust a single damn king in the wings of my field. When a fire burns fire, got a gasoline quilt. I am the wolf and the rabbit, fill the teeth that I built. I killed a queen, killed an underling and built my dreams. The teeth of the monster haunt me in my sleep.
A little piece of love gets spit inside the embers to set the world on fire and rid it of its cancer. Ay, I am the answer and the bullet in the gun. Ay, I am the prayer in the darkness of the sun. Ay, I feel the carcass of the earth when spoiled, so I pick it out my gums and listen for the recoil. That bitter pill will get you killed, so wash your hands. The glitter ain't real, so put a stitch up in your plans. Got no time for small talk, skipping on my sidewalk, chasing off the greatness like I'm waiting for what I now.
Let's talk about it, man.
Be about it. Who's doing the cuts on that? That's pretty nice.
I think it was his DJ Intrigue or whatever his name was, right?
Okay. And the beat is dope. I like songs that can have like a change in the beat where they don't need a chorus, and you just know the chorus is kind of when it goes like.
Figure. Sorry, what did I say?
Figurine.
DJ Figure.
I wasn't really here.
Okay. You weren't here. Where were you?
I was going to go do something, and then I couldn't.
Okay. That's fine.
I shouldn't.
So now you're back.
But I wouldn't.
So, yeah, dope track. I agree. Chuck had actually mentioned, you know, that's not the rap that I would typically listen to, but dude was killing it, and I agree with you.
He's a great match energy-wise for those kind of beats.
Yeah.
Wish him all the luck.
And I definitely don't mean this in a negative connotation, but it was different than I expected it to sound off of the interview. He was a lot hyper.
He's like a chill dude. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Chuck, you did mention that it's different. He did actually ask. He's like, look, I've been paying attention to the podcast. Can I be a member of different styles?
True.
And I was like, well, fall back a little bit. Well, I'll talk to the guys. We'll see. I think the answer is no. I think it's...
We'll let Kaz 2 in the group. But Kaz 1, I think...
We gotta keep Kaz 2 and is initiated into different styles.
The crowd gets loud over here.
What is this? Neon Icon?
I kinda wanna play you guys something.
Nah, man.
I think you need to listen to it.
Alright, before we go into that.
Don't be close-minded, alright?
I'm trying not to be.
This sounds okay, and the reason I'm playing this is because it sounds like a Cypress Hill House of Pain beat.
Okay.
With this knucklehead rhyming
on it. See, that's what you just You're just like, hey, that's like a really buxomy girl with a big butt who has a huge wart on her nose.
Yeah, but this is not for you to like. I don't mean that you have to marry this song. I just need you to listen to it.
Okay.
Chuck, are you willing? Chuck, are you willing to listen to a song outside of your comfort level?
I mean, it's Chrome Bill's episode 50. My comfort level is everywhere.
This is the intro on the new Riff Raff album.
I'm very uncomfortable.
Oh, I just got really uncomfortable.
Don't worry about it.
See?
No, play it.
See? All right. And I might even keep the commentary
no
on.
No crab crack for you.
We're going to keep the commentary on for this one, okay?
Okay.
Intro.
Bro. The Neon Icon album is serious. It finally came out today. Serious, bro.
So he's making fun of like a
of bros.
Pretty
of bros.
Pretty unique.
Like rappers.
Just chill.
Damn riff raff. He's just fucking off the chain. He does damn everything in the book. I mean, Jody, what are we gonna do about it? Bro, did you see Jennifer last night? She was like smoking hot, bro. She had a total nip slip.
What?
Yeah, it's like she doesn't even grow hair on her body. She's just like this tan beauty queen that just came from the Eastern Peninsula, bro.
What? Yeah, wanna know something about my right arm? I done got a flex of horse out fire long. The fireplace out of space with a wise belt. Big jewels on myself with a tiger smell. Straight after John's thing, red kiss. Ice blue, cool top, lip frostbit. The sound bite, Clark Gable on my cable bill. Bill Cosby on my couch out in Nashville. Save the last dance. Second glance, 30 birds in a bundle. Only three stay forever. Dance.
You're speechless. This is amazing.
I'm not. It's so obvious. It's like a Weird Al thing.
It is kind of like
someone
a Weird
who's
Al
actually
thing.
A talented musician or like whatever. You can tell he's a decent writer.
Yeah,
but it's a joke.
I don't think it's a joke, man. Either way, it's a joke. To it's however you want to take it. Personally, I think, you know.
I think it has to be a joke only because I see that dude with like people that can really rap. Like he's in some Action Bronson video I saw.
Just an act. Like it's.
I don't
it's,
think this is just an act though. Okay.
And what you're about to say is some of your favorite artists are acts.
No, I wasn't. That's not what I was gonna say.
Okay. All right.
We got it. Okay. Let's start. Do you feel like this beat? Okay, this beat could have been on a Cypress Hill record in the 90s.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yes and no. Yeah.
Right?
Okay. It sounds like an Eazy-E song. He sounds like Eazy-E.
Could sound like an Eazy-E song, right? If you were at a show and they played this track, I bet people would be hyped though.
Okay.
I bet it. If you go to see this live, you'd be like,
I mean,
this is actually kind of fun. Like we're actually kind of having fun right now with this. This is no, in no way 100% co-signed.
If you went to like a bunch of kids and were like, here's a bag of Jolly Ranchers, they'd go ape shit, but it doesn't mean it's good for them.
Okay, that's fine, but everything that you eat doesn't need to be good for you.
Anytime I've had this conversation with someone,
uh-huh.
It inevitably lands on that.
The
like,
same
like,
point.
You don't have an Oreo every
sure.
now? I'm like, okay, fair
right.
enough.
Right.
Fair enough. It's a little, it's just.
It's fun.
Just
sugary
is like, treat.
Like when Humpty Hump came out, people weren't like, it's an act. You're like, yeah, no shit. Like, it's entertainment here.
I feel like, but if you went and saw someone who did like a janky comedic version of being an engineer, you'd be like, yeah, what is this shit?
Do you think this, but I honestly believe that this dude, in his mind, he's like pushing the boundaries of
Rap Game Johnny Bench. I see your point. I see your point.
All
right. I definitely see your point.
I think it's funny because this like really gets a rise out of Cole. I've definitely I think what happens is you get beaten down and then when you crawl back up you just think it's funny.
Right.
And I've just been so Cole beaten just down. Still keeps that glimmer of hope for rap.
He does.
Yeah, where but like, he's, do you want to? He's hear offended by the bad shit. Whereas I see this and I'm just like, yo, it's there's so much bad stuff that like I'll just listen to it and
I'm gonna
see if there's like a joke here or there.
That's a good perspective. But like, would you rather listen to that or like some Immortal Technique song talking about like how you know the U.S. is supporting like Israel versus Palestine?
Now it's interesting you bring up this point.
You know what I'm saying? Like
you're swinging from one polar
right.
to the next.
Sure.
My point is that I'd like things
you
to
like
be
in
more
the middle.
Down the
you
middle.
You like in the middle? Okay.
Right.
That's fine.
So your point's well taken, though. I think every now and then it's important not to take shit too seriously. I feel like it's the kind of thing. It's almost like. Like violence in a movie or something. I'm like, in the wrong hands, that's a really bad thing.
Sure. But like, if we were watching a Steven Seagal movie
uh-huh.
and he whacks some dude over the head with like a pool cue.
An 8-year-old watch it because it'd be like, you don't get the context of this.
Sure.
But as a 20-year-old, you wouldn't be like, that's so unrealistic. That pool cue wouldn't
No, but
right
I'd be
there.
Like, I'm not interested in this because it's too gratuitous. It's too one uh-huh. way or the other.
Right.
But
I don't even think he was saying anything that offensive.
No, it's
he was just straying away from the original.
Manifesting from is yeah. offensive to me.
Okay,
that I mean.
Okay, that's valid.
So
that's valid.
Plus, like I've seen like Stitches, like that kind of that steez.
I don't know what Stitches is.
I think we've even talked about it on here. The guy, like the white.
Oh,
dude.
Oh, you're right. We played that song. That
yeah.
was insane.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was crazy.
Did we play it?
We did.
Was that
I don't remember playing it.
Posted? I don't think we did.
Oh, maybe we watched
that
after
could...
one of the...
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever
watched it after.
That shit was crazy. We watched that here, though. That was a Chrome Bills exclusive for us.
Okay.
That was an internal exclusive.
Chrome Bills
exclusive. Wow. Can you use the word exclusive in that setting?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the one thing about the song we just heard is that...
We shouldn't have heard it.
Other than the intro,
yeah.
If a DJ was playing it and they just spun it and I was at a bar in a conversation,
yeah.
I could have totally had no reaction to it. And in that point, it would have served its purpose. And I might have even like bobbed my head to it.
Right.
Whereas there is some other rap that goes the complete 180 where you're like, no one would ever play this unless they're actively listening to it. Like when you, Cole, you said the thing about talking to Max when you guys showed up and you ended up listening to the Atmosphere album and you were having a discussion. It's like you never pay attention to the album at the end. You both still know because you're checking in like half a second here, half a second there that you're like, yo, this is dope.
It's an excellent point.
It's kind of moving you. And I feel like the one thing about his stuff is that if I was 40% attentive, I'd be like, this is cool.
Fair enough.
All right.
That was a very good point.
All right.
Can I leave now?
Yeah, get the fuck out.
We're getting close. What is this? When is Jesus coming anyway? That was supposed to be this episode. Chuck, did you do the pre-pro?
When I talked to Steve Stees last week, he told me that Jesus is always there for you whenever you need him.
He nailed it. Fresh your luck. Where you at, Jesus? Yeah, that'd be some
I got to piss right now. So. Fresh
your luck. I mean, that's a whole... Because there is no bathroom down here.
I know, I got to hoof it. I got to hoof it.
I thought maybe you could pee in that trash can, see
you
if there's
can.
A joint in there.
It's a plastic.
Yeah, there's construction going on at Chromeville South, but I did not realize there was no bathroom.
No bathroom. Studios, yeah, no it's bathroom. killing us.
Yeah.
See, your word. We're at 85 minutes, and if anybody's still with us, we appreciate it.
That's close enough.
Shout-outs to Kaz 1. Shout-outs to Kaz 2.
I kind of wanted you to play that new Black Thought song that we were passing around on text earlier.
I totally forgot.
You know what?
Slap it on. Static Selector, yeah.
All right.
What is it? Static Selector, Royce da 5'9", and God, why am I drawing a blank? Who runs first? Oh, Action Bronson.
Royce.
One Static Selector. Yeah, it's Royce, Action Bronson, and the one and only Black Thought. And I'm pretty sure the bar structure is like 16 for Alchemist, 16 for Royce. 142 for Black Thought.
It's called the Imperial.
Yep, that's the one.
All right.
Yo, what's up? It's your man Royce da 5'9", one quarter of the Slaughterhouse Machine. Right now I'm kicking it with my dog, my man Static Selector, listening to Show Off Radio.
He said
right
Selector.
Yo, it's the rap Scott Disick. Come through the fucking block with some hot lizards. Me. Blowing lie in the blizzard. Put 6 digits on the wizards. Shit, just don't tell my missus. Then she throw the dice with a red glove. Spread love. Spread legs from the bed to the tub. Floor to the closet. Real sex on the Panasonic. I'm getting head in the pool. Bitch, I'm just better than you. Yeah, around the world like 4 times. All because a motherfucker spit more rhymes. Yeah, more lines. Shit, feed them more lines and more lines. I won't dumb it down for more rhymes. That's like shooting big game with a small nine.
The bottom line is selling these pebbles. Get away with your life earnings while I'm trying to dodge these devils. The whole squad Gucci. Join us, but chances are you an LV if you running with these rebels. I'm selling wrapped up, capped up, vowels of crack. Every syllable and vowel is a fact. I throw stacks. The chick riding with me, she polished. She a dime, she stylish. Check her whole facts. Her mileage is back, she solid. The desert eagle hit the better. The people selling put eco like there is no IL and illegal. I hire felons to sew up the streets while I let you believe that it's better to be you, baby. I call that thread in the needle. You know me, it ain't nothing corny in a wardrobe. I'm low-key, even more so than Thor's bro. Impeccable ear, I take Braille, make it Morse code, and pedal it like I'm trying to make the porch go.
And you say New York City, my cheapest t-shirts cost me $450. Listen, for me to call it a while is go Philly. And shorties in the front row flashing both titties. The texture of my voice is coarse, it's so gritty that I can make the people revolt with no ditty. I used to kick it with Hex Murder, Frank Nitty in a D when he would bring Jay Diller and Dank Witty. Reed G's for mayor, a franchise player. Yeah, you might say I'm in the book of Isaiah. The highway is what is my way. I'ma put a polka dot on your dome. And Kwame, this is the big payoff. Soliloquy of chaos. Another rapper gon' get rocked like Amadeus. Defeat or make a nigga get ghost like a seance. It's triple entendre, 3 stacks. Hey y'all, I plan to keep a band like Fela. Until when my career's over like AI. It's me and the Muhammad's, Ali's Bayard. That never played the porch or ass for Mother May I. Listen, my calling card ball hard like armadillos. Rappers too thin to win like cigarillos.
shaking their hair back and forth like willows. But need to say the soft air, talking for the pillows. Whoa, I had an issue with a hater, now it's kinda squashed like a slug below the soles of the silent rhymes. My response, a stepping razor like I'm Father Taj. Exotic fabrics on my blazer like the Maharaj. Sick whips in my garage, roll with no entourage, but I roll with heat like I'm Dwayne Wade, LeBron and Bosh. I keep the paper stacked in layers like baklavas, even though they give a size free like the Amistad. I know I'm sort of pompous, no type of moral compass. Go right the fuck up in your mouth like I'm the orthodontist. Some rappers is just starting out, but me, I'm more accomplished. The imperial black thought from the foreign objects. I created a movement, not just related to music. They keep asking me, what's my take on the state of the union? All these haters is human, but I'm a different breed. They be crazy cartoonish, but I'm in a different league. Killer colloquium, kush, roll with opium, making my associates act so inappropriate. I got weapons manufactured in the Soviet. Now I'm like Future on that, I just want a trophy shit. Ayo, the boss is back, take that. And why you at it, make my coffee black. I try to tell y'all motherfuckers on respond, react. I'm the nastiest to do it, as a matter of fact. Yo, who your top five? J, Biggie, Pac, Nas. I ain't trying to hear another name if it's not mine. Any side talking, I'ma consider it shots fired at the outlier. Started up like a hot wire, nigga.
My favorite shit. Are we back, Chrome Bills 50? Yo, I love that Black Thought, though, has like this history that he can pull into in Ill Rhymes. Like, yeah. I've never heard the Roots refer to... I thought I told you on Respond React was Ill as Fuck, which is like the intro song on Illadelph Half-Life where he really kills the verse. And then I haven't heard him refer to the crew that they were in, the Foreign Objects, since like the first or second album. And wow, just like to end a very ill syllable group, he was like, you know, it's Black Thought from the Foreign Objects. It's like, yo, fucking killing it.
Yeah, man. I feel like he, you know, like that was when Big Pun was at his heyday. Like it was that type of, I hate to even say like mixtape verse ready,
yeah,
kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But, and like, I don't mean that in a bad way, the way it could be taken now. That dude's
that was like
for
that was a mixtape verse.
Yeah.
Just
but in the early days of the internet, like you say Big Pun, I'm actually going to throw Cannabis's name out there too. Right. Where like that verse is so ill that if it had shitty sound quality taped off of like college radio,
it would sound better.
People would have been passing the MP3s around. Not that it would sound better, but that like I listened to a bunch of shit where they'd be like, yo, check this thing where it's Noriega, DMX, and Cannabis. Right. And I feel like that Black Thought verse is as good as any rhyme anyone ever spit in those type of clips,
right,
that went around. I mean, he's so ill, man. Have I made it clear? I'm jocking it.
Is he in your top five now?
It's always been in my top five. I think the real discussion is whether or not he's one. Because when, wow, you look at all aspects of MCing,
yeah,
I think you can make an argument he's the best live. I think you can make an argument, like Cole said, he's the best for like a mixtape verse with no connotation, no negative connotation. I think you can make an argument he's one of the best freestylers. So like at that point he's at least in the discussion for one.
And
they have like 15 albums.
Yeah.
That's my point. I want to
the most prolific.
I want to lace you with a Cole's comparisons right now. Black Thought,
Madonna
is the Warren Moon of rap. Now here's why.
Warren Moon.
Warren Moon got drafted in 78 to play in Canada because no NFL team
and
would take
him. Killing it in Canada.
He won five Grey Cups, five consecutive Grey Cups, and threw for more than 21,000 yards before he came to the NFL.
And had an NFL career.
Whereas Black Dog is like, yo, this dude's got these studio albums. He's on Jimmy Kimmel. Like, they've toured this much massively. Their videos are major hits, and he's still got that.
Right.
And I think that you also have to talk about people for what they're... Sometimes it's what you don't do. This motherfucker's got a well-documented 20-year career, and I've never seen a huge misstep.
Maybe the big, like the most...
Like, I he mean, doesn't have that moment you can point to and be like, well, this is kind of corny, though.
Yeah.
Whereas I've always made the argument, I could play four Biggie songs that are bad. Like that.
Well, on top
bad.
Of that, too, like, how many people have even had a 20-year career? Like Big Daddy Kane?
No, it's LL like him and Busta. It's like him and Busta. That's really the only people that... haven't taken a hiatus that were around in 93.
I'm saying you could say Jay was around from like beginning.
Nah, Jay's probably, that's a good
from
point.
Beginning in 94 to 2014.
Well, I also feel like somebody like, you know, LL Cool J,
nah,
like still makes
LL
records.
LL Cool J.
I mean.
It's those guys, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's those guys who've been around forever.
That's crazy.
Yep.
I do always like to throw Busta in, man, because Busta's just never gone away.
He's never
as
gone away.
As much as my... as much as my enjoyment of his craft has linearly decreased with age.
Yeah, the dude's he's still relevant, though. I mean, dude's still relevant.
And he'll still murder something every once in a while when I've completely forgotten about him. Yeah. I'll hear him, again, use Cole's term, mixtape verse, and he'll just murder some shit. Like, well, it's Busta.
I,
mean,
I want to pick, this is where we're going to get, this. These last 10 minutes are going to be so worth listening to. I want you guys to compare the Chrome Bills podcast to a rapper. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's tough.
I'm going to say C's Mics.
So, epic failure.
No, I want to say we are the K-Chrome of podcasts.
Okay.
I feel like you have to list someone that's not one of us.
We haven't even popped yet. We haven't even popped off. So for people to even know who the fuck we are.
I feel like this is almost like an inkblot test, and it's going to tell you what you think of yourself. Like,
I was going to go Quell was like the first thing that came to mind.
We're not even on that level.
Okay.
We're not even on the
Quell
level.
Where are we at?
We're on a C's Mike's K Chrome level at this point.
Wow.
Where we're nice, but we haven't popped off like that.
Well, see this. Okay.
Actually, it would kind of fall in line with Cole and I's like trajectory in life and just picking up another task.
Like you got mad.
Taking it right to this level.
We got mad skills here.
Right.
For some reason, we just need to get to that next level.
How do we do it? Viral videos of you filleting quarter inches.
Filleting. I like the epic rap battle crew versus actual rap battlers.
Okay.
Actually, well, here's an idea. You saw that thing where the dude went viral with his mugshot? What if with Steve's new hair?
Okay.
That mugshot could go viral.
That wasn't a good picture, though.
I'm very particular about what gets released to the
public. I could take 100 pictures, and you will say about each and every one of
them.
That's
incorrect.
You won't even notice I've showed you 100 of the same picture.
We were just talking about how iPhones don't take good pictures, and you got the lighting all wrong for that shot. On top of the bad
picture. I'm sorry, I forgot to get my key grip in here and have everything set up, Your
Majesty.
I'm
just letting you know how I like my picture taken.
We found the one thing that you're just as high maintenance about as I am about everything else.
My hair.
It's having your picture taken.
And I don't like having my picture taken.
Okay. You don't like it?
Okay.
You were pretty camera friendly on Tuesday.
I was. I didn't take any shots, though.
Any shots?
No, what do you? We didn't take any pictures.
I thought you couldn't take pictures there. I remember specifically.
I took pictures of you, dude.
Yeah.
That's weird.
I remember specifically being told that you can't take pictures there after I had taken one and someone being like it was some weird thing about the club. Maybe in the age of Instagram and Facebook. This is like 5 years ago at this point.
Yeah, I don't even know how you would enforce that nowadays.
Well, you wouldn't want to, too. It's free publicity because people are tagging your venue.
Right.
Maybe
I guess they probably 180'd on that where it was like, yeah, this is actually a really bad idea.
No flash.
Right.
Maybe they're just like, you can't use a flash. All right. What food would you compare us to?
We would be like
barbecue.
You're saying barbecue?
I got a good one.
I was gonna say like dill pickled flavored potato chips.
Okay, okay. You know what I was gonna go with? A Reuben.
Reuben.
A Reuben's really good, but it's not something you necessarily want once every day.
Okay,
but like it'd be like a nice treat to have as a meal. Like it's too much for lunch. It's not
people
quite enough
Reuben.
For dinner.
Dude, Reubens are a classic sandwich.
But not enough people eat them.
They never even heard of us, like a dill pickled flavored potato chip.
How many people, I want you to do a poll. How many of your friends do you think have heard of a Reuben sandwich?
All of them?
Every 100%. Single one.
Okay. So we should walk around with coleslaw and Thousand Island dressing on us.
Consider coleslaw as your rap name?
Yeah.
You did? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
People always said you should use
Cole's. How about Cole's Raw?
My first.
Like if you did Cole's Raw.
No, people are like, your last name is Policy? That's awesome. Shit.
Yeah.
It's too late now.
Chuck, did you consider any other rap names?
So first of all, I used the coleslaw thing against Cole in a battle, I remember. I was like, I'm about to chop Cole into coleslaw.
Oh.
He looked bitch just like Tamika Holeslaw or something like that. Yeah. I always used the coleslaw.
Yo, I feel like
Holeslaw.
He rhymes Holdsclaw all the time, actually.
Because it's probably in the coleslaw reference, if you went and pulled them. There's not too many other words out on that island. Like hold jaw or something like that.
I'm feeling bull jaw. Keep going.
Leave you with a broke jaw.
I float off. I'm so strong.
Pole vault could potentially be.
I'm so raw when I pole vault.
Yo, halt.
Yo,
this is off of the
I
dome,
I drive a
y'all.
Chevy Cobalt.
Sometimes
I like
dome
my meatloaf
stall.
With no salt.
Road salt. I was going to say, road salt.
And going so raw.
So raw.
I think that's what...
Like Shamika Hole's claw.
Oh, wait, that's where we started.
All right, yo. So
it's
we've,
so steamy down.
We've hit 99 minutes and 37 seconds wow. into this episode.
I mean, just, you know.
You guys have any parting thoughts for Chrome Bills episode 5 times 10?
Episode 50 is nothing to sneeze at and proud to be a part of it. Thanks,
yeah, definitely.
Guys.
Peace.
Holds claw. Holds claw. I rhyme it with Holds claw. I'm eating Coleslaw.